Just a reminder, today's conference is being recorded.
The people are crying for peace. How can we have it? Peace should start from our hearts. We should breathe out peace as given out by Guru Nanak. He prayed, "Peace be to all the world over, O Lord, and let thy will." So for this, naturally, there should be a spiritual revolution. I'm using the word revolution, you see. The world is already in revolution. And this revolution should be different from other revolutions. This revolution will not be of the body, but against the evil propensities of the mind, which keep us away from God. This will be achieved if we give right understanding to the people at large, which will result in right thoughts. First comes understanding, then comes thoughts, and from right thoughts will result in right speech. And right speech will result in right actions. The whole thing starts from the right understanding. So, you'll find right understanding lies in the fact, what, first, that there is a maker of the universe who is the controlling power and permeates all creation. This world did not come out of itself. The maker of this, the scientists lately have come to the conclusion that the whole creation is controlling by some power which is conscious. So that first thing it is, the whole world is the manifestation of God. No east, no west. The earth below and sky overhead is His manifestation. Guru Nanak went to Mecca. At night we lying down with the tree towards the Mecca, the house of God. The servants over there rebuked Guru Nanak, "Why are you lying with your hand, your feet towards Mecca, the house of God?" He politely told them, "Dear friend, I see God all around. There's no place where He's not. If you think God is and the other side where God is not, so you may turn my feet towards that." So Master say, all is holy where devotion kneels. This is first right understanding. Other side, a great Mohammedan says, he says, the whole world is blessed because God permeates all. If my fathers find the time for prayers, They can sit on any ground, anywhere, and say praise to God. No matter what way their face is. Because God is everywhere. Quran, the Mohammedan scripture with us, also says that God is everywhere. That matters little when you face westward or eastward. You say your prayers where you are. So the first right understanding, we are living in Him, being in Him. He is in us, out us, above us, below us. Like fish, we are having no resistance in Him. That is the right understanding. And further, God made man with equal privileges. All born the same way. No high, no low. All have got the same constitution outside. Two eyes, two ears, two nostrils, mouth, and two on me. Every day morning, municipality takes a fifth of the body. No height, no low. Inner constitution also the same. And the same body, we are keeping us in the body some higher power, which is the same for all. So this is the right understanding that we are. If we have this thing, God resides in every heart. All His holy devotion names. All are born with the same privilege from God. No east, no west. So this will result in right thoughts. On my last visit, I attended one meeting which is called the East and the West. All who visited this America, they were asked to attend those, that meeting, and I was also one of them. Each man gave his own state where Swami had come. When my turn came up, I told him, it is said, of course, that East is for the East and West for the West, and the two shall never meet. But I told them, there is no East and West. The whole creation is the house of our Father. All countries are the so many rooms in the house of our Father. It is we who have made East and West on account of for want of right understanding. So this is the one thing. Scientists have also now come to know that there is one power controlling all creation, which is consciousness. If you have this understanding, what will the result? Your whole angle of view will be changed. All of, we are all children of God, the same Father. The two fathers of God and brotherhood of Ham will be cemented. So this is what is, I mean spiritual revelation. The people will say from godlessness. So Kabir says, behold, but one in all things. Guru Arjan says, visible and invisible, all are His manifestation. Lord Krishna says, what? He who sees me in all things in me, is my dear. To masters, when they come, they say, first message they bring is, there is God. They say, we have seen God. With what eyes? Then those eyes are different from these eyes of flesh and bones. That eye exists in everybody. That's called third eye, single eye, latent eye. So the whole world, they say, is in manifestation. and it resides in every heart, and as such, physical body, we are having the true temple of God. So by right understanding, I mean that. If this right understanding is brought to the notice of all people at large, that the right understanding, that the right thoughts, then will come right speech and right action. Although we are wearing different labels of religions, all the same, we are all one. The labels show only that we, which particular school we have joined to realize this unity. The ultimate goal of all religions is to know God. And to know God, we must know ourselves first. Because God cannot be known by the outgoing faculties, mind or intellect. Soul can alone know the old soul. Like knows the like. The primal manifestation of God is called word or nam, which is the cause of all creation. Who is the maker of all creation, controller of all creation, and permeating all creation. You'll find in the Bible, that is why it says, in the beginning was the Word. Word was with God. Word was God. All things were made by Him, and without Him was not anything made that was made. So similarly, Vedas say so. They use the word Parjapati for that, exactly the same word. Similarly, Guru Nanak orders, Saint tells us, Naam is the creator of all the universe. So this is God in expression power. When manifested, there was vibration which results in light and sound. So this power, Master, people have given millions of names to express this power. The sages have described God in innumerable ways. Some call Him Swami, means Lord. Others call Him Agam, incomprehensible and indescribable. Satpurusha means eternal. There are many other qualitative names which go to express the name of this power. To differentiate between the two, these are some words given to denote that power which is the cause of all creation, the outer expressions of which is light and sound. So Master come to differentiate sometimes to clarify the whole position. Ninth Guru, Guru Tegh Bahadur, in question, what is that Naam? The remembrance of which leads to Nirvana. Again he says, what is that Naam? The repetition whereof enables the person. So that is God into expression power, contact which is possible when in man body only. Guru Arjan says, a contact with Naam makes oneself luminous, the luminosity varying with millions of suns. So I am quoting only to show what the Master really meant. We say Ram. Ram means permeating all. The word Ram means what is permeating. That what is permeating, that is a different thing. The word Ram means is permeating. So these words go to express that power which is the cause of all creation, which can be seen with the, not with the eyes of flesh or bones, but with the single eye or third eye which is opened by the Master. So by the grace of God, a true initiate prays, O God, manifest the divine light of now within me. It is already there. Take heed that the light which is within you is not darkness. So it is something unfair, it is not the subject of the, what, of the eyes. It is something wonderful. Those eyes are different, which can be seen. So all masters have been telling like that. Kabir said, there are myriads of names in the world, myriads. But none of them can grant salvation. They follow Master. There are myriads of names given to God, but none of them grant salvation. And which is that particular name which gives salvation is the primeval name, is a hidden one. And the rare soul can know and realize that the hidden name. That is the power permeating all creation. The outer expression of which is light and sound that can be seen by eyes, not the flesh and bones, but the inner eye. That is not music of the spheres, which can be heard not with the physical ears, but that inner ear which exists in every man. So you'll find, with the grace of some master, we who can open this new world within us, we see. So take the example, you see, to understand the thing, water, the liquid thing, called in different languages by different names. It is called water, aqua, in Latin, you in French. In Spanish means something different. In India it is called gel, neel. Persian it is called ab. In other language called pani. So these are the words go to denote that liquid thing by drinking which you can satisfy your thirst. Not by repeating the mere names given to express that liquid water. So God is to express in power. It's called world, it's called nam, that is called kalma, which is the creator of all creation. And that is to express light itself. Masters come, they contact with the God into expression within us. See? Open our inner eye by raising us some above the physical body and outward faculty. We begin to see. So that is why it is said, you see, devotion nam to nam is the only true worship. God is spirit. We can worship in spirit alone. Outer worlds are used and admit itself to direct what is what. So thy word is a lamp unto my feet and light on my path. Guru Amar Das says everyone does worship, but on the sensual plane only, so they get no results to genuine salvation. But absorption in the Naam purifies the mind and bears fruit in abundance. You know how to follow? Words are words, but these words, what do they denote? That is different thing, that is the controlling power of all creation, permeating all creation, and permeating and controlling us in the body too. So body is the true temple of God in which we really dwell, and also that power keeps us in the body. So the great, by the word of Lord William made, and all the host of them, he spake and it was done. Kun piyumun. These are scriptures say so. Now you follow what is meant by Naam or world or God. So Christ said, man shall not live by bread alone, but every word that proceedeth from the mouth of God. Master says there is God, very definitely, who is the maker of all creation, permeating all creation, And further, the religious world did not come out of itself, but it is made by some power which is conscious. So masters tell us like that. Then comes all this manifestation is God's. Because He is the creator, there is nothing was before Him. All this is made after Him, which is the manifestation of Him. Now the question arises, why can't we see Him? When the Master said they do see Him, why can't we see Him? Why can't we see Him? They say, because He is the subtlest of the subtlest. Atyagam. If you know, try to understand by example. In the air, nothing appears to be there, all vacant. But if you see through a microscope, what it does, it magnifies things 700 times bigger. You look through it, you'll find all this atmosphere full of microbes. So if you see through a microscope, the air will appear to be full of microbes or insects, which you haven't it now. So if our eye becomes to the level, or to that level, or that what is in the air magnified to come to our level, we will be able to see Him. If in man's body is the wonderful house we live in, it has got 9 apertures, but we cannot run away out of it. There are 2 eyes, 2 nostrils, mouth, 2 ears, 2 underneath. We cannot run away out of it. So body works as long as we are in the body. We are in the body as long as some power keeps us in the body. When that is withdrawn, we have to leave the body. So God resides in the body. We also reside in this man body. God also resides in this body, keeping us in the body. So man body is the highest in all creation. It is a golden opportunity afforded to us to enable us to see God. So in man body only we can know God, and in no other body. So saints tell us, when strange enough, while God is with us in the body, we see Him not. He says, though, to see every man in top blind. You see? Fight on a lifeless life like this. They see like it in everybody. Take it that the like within you is not darkness. The master come, well, all right. They make people see you who do not see. It cannot be seen if it is not already there. So Kabir says, the world, entire world is groping in darkness. If it were a question of 1 or 2, they could be set right. But he says, wherever I see, all are blind in the terminology of the spirituality. So Guru Nanak said to the enlightened ones, all are per blind. Man who sees Him is there, and other people do not see, naturally they are spiritually blind. When you come to a master, what is there? He makes you see. Open your inner eye, or the third eye, or the single eye, which can be seen. So in the terminology of the saints, the word blind means not those who have got no eyes on the forehead, but whose inner or single eye is not open. So the eyes of flesh see Him not, but the Master illumines the eye, you see, within. The worthy disciple begins to witness the power and glory of God in himself. When Master comes, he opens his eye. No, God, why can't we see again, I would say, enveloped in darkness, we strive for God by deeds, not less darkness. Without a perfect man, none has found the way, nor one can do so. As I submitted yesterday, you know, all outer specs, subjects, we need somebody to guide us in the outer ways, those ways which are at the level of housing faculty, mind, or interest. And this is a way which is where all classes and their religion starts. There's needed somebody to usher you into the beyond, to rise above body consciousness, withdraw your attention from all outside, and open the single eye to see the light of God. Here also such a person requires, when you go beyond, there also you need him. He guides you further too. One comes across a perfect master, he cannot see. When he comes to the feet of the master, he begins to see. We are blind before coming to him in the terminology of the saints. When he gives a sitting, we become with eyes. When we come to him, we are deaf, spiritually deaf. When he gives a sitting, we begin to hear the sound of voice of God. The master said, you see, what the old prophets did all their best but could not see. You hear what the old prophets could not hear. Are not such people are most fortunate to have a living master? So body is well the true temple of God, and the Holy Ghost blesses it. Emerson says, tapping inside and going into the foxhole in the brain. This foxhole in the brain is called Brahmarudra, the way, Brahmarudra. And when Truman also referred to it, that when he was tired with the outer performance of duties, he entered to the foxhole of the brain. We all call it, you see, Brahmarudra, perception, intuition, and reasoning just help to understand the reality to a certain extent, not beyond. Now, this is your understanding, you see. At the level of being trained by seeing is believing. Seeing with one's own eyes, the single eye, this inlet and ingress, we know little or nothing about that. This is what the master gave. So Nanak says, the blind know not the door. And guide ever to it. Now can it shall be opened unto you. Whoever hears my voice, I shall pass sup with him and he will sup with me. So we will have to revert to the third eye, latent eye, or the third eye, the Shivnetra within us. God said, let there be light. The result was what? There was light. Didn't say so. And this is the sunlight that lighteth every man that cometh into the world. And light is the life of man. That light is within you. Take heed that the light within you is not dark. So all scriptures describe rays of light vibrating with the music of life. Go hand in hand. Ring radiance, you might say, to what you use to do. Ring radiance. Emanating from the formless absolute existence when it came to manifest the world in its relegated colors or counter shapes and forms. Thank God, He has made all creation and He is not still away from that. He also permeates it. He is permeates in all creation, he is still quite above all these things. So this pervades all four grand divisions of the universe. Kabir says, I went to Makkah. On the way, God met me, began to rebuke me. Kabir, who told you I am residing here, not harming you? Why are you coming here? The one who resides in us, we leave this body and go out to such an outer thing. Can you find him? At the most, they can give us incentive that we should know God, nothing more. Places of pilgrimage, the holy temples, they remind us there is something, there is some God. They say, praise is there. So Master tell us that, is it possible to see God? Now, again, can we see God? Guru Nanak was put this very blunt question. He said, yes, God is pervading everywhere. Master, say what they see. And don't give any reasoning for that, because they are competent to give a demonstration of that. Let you see God. Christ was asked, is there any Lord? They said, yes, behold the Lord. The same one. He's nearer to you than your ankle limbs. In the scripture say, he's so nearer to you, nothing in the world is nearer to you. In the very life of you. Then Guru Nanak asked, what is that? Kabir also asked that. I mean, he said, I was in doubt. Really, is it so? Because when my eye was open, I really saw him, then all my delusion gone, all my doubts have vanished now. And I see him here.
Well, good morning, everybody. Welcome to the Satsang from Master Kirpal Singh. Just a reminder before we start, next week, turn the clocks back before the Satsang. Okay, today the reader is Christine Clevenger. Are you there, Christine? That's not good. Hello? What are we going to do? Let me just check a few things here. I can be the reader, of course, if Christine does not appear.
John, I'm here.
Okay, you're there. Okay. Carry on.
Have you begun?
Nope. No, I was just holding my breath. Yeah.
It's okay to begin?
Oh, yes, yeah.
Okay, I'm
yes.
Sorry.
Yeah.
My apologies. I had some interruptions here.
Yeah.
I am going to continue Master's reading called Think of Death, which I began during my last reading. Maya means delusion. Having been identified with the body, we forgot our real self and also over-self. Body is the root cause of all delusions. When we see our fellow beings from the body level, attachment is natural. The moment the inner eye opens, self-awareness would dawn upon us. Then this tabernacle of flesh would appear to be a heap of dust. It is quite surprising that we see the changing panorama of life with our own eyes and yet do not believe. Like an oily surface where water does not stick, our hearts have become so much saturated with the glamour of the external world that no amount of jnana or knowledge produces any effect. We read and never go deep into the meaning. All great souls have given a clarion call. O man, thou hast to depart. Does it appeal to us? We have been completely dyed in the color of the world, so much so that even the heart-rending appeals of enlightened souls prove futile. In such a condition, self-awakening is the only alternative. The Vedas state, "Awake, arise, and stop not till the goal is reached." Guru Arjan in this context says, "Awake thou, O traveler of the way." All saints have virtually said the same thing. We are not concerned with the expressions, but should concentrate on the essence of the subject. Hence the exhortation, "Attend ye the satsang with loving devotion." By the term satsang, we understand any lecture or discourse on the scriptures, generally a tall talk. This is a misnomer. Awakened souls do not call such discourse or congregation a satsang. They have defined it as, "No congregation can be called a satsang unless it is presided over by a master saint." Satsang denotes the company or discourse of a truth-personified saint alone. There is no question of gurudom here. Huge gatherings without the presence of a man of realization or enlightenment cannot be called a satsang. It is a question of self-awakening and self-analysis first. Then only one can pass it on to others. He who is identified with the body at the plane of mind and senses, although well-versed in the scriptures, has no inner experience or contact with reality. Association with such a person is not satsang. He has neither inner perception himself, nor can impart it to others. What is the greatness of an evolved soul? He transcends the body limitations at will and can make others do likewise. He gives inner vision to the spiritually blind, and one experiences some glimpses of divine light within. Further, his ears are in tune with the divine melody. We are dead to the music of the spheres. One who is competent to do this is called a guru. The Holy Quran also states likewise, "Our eyes and ears have been sealed. Catch hold of a master who may unseal them." In the teachings of the masters, physical senses are not of much avail. Nanak says, "One sees without eyes, hears without ears, walks without feet, acts without hands, and talks without tongue, provided one learns to die while living. O Nanak, it is then alone that one can know the cosmic will and meet the beloved." Again he says, "Different are the eyes, O Nanak, that behold the vision of God." When one is able to understand the Lord's will, one would establish contact with Nam, or the power of God. Elementary steps at the body level are not enough. Real help would come from a spiritual adept. A learned man can give you knowledge. An engineer can teach engineering. A doctor can teach anatomy. Likewise, an enlightened soul can give you a first-hand contact with truth. Lord Krishna has stated in the Gita, "If you are desirous of having jnana, or true knowledge, practical inner experience, you should go to an evolved soul. This is not the job of scholars." Maulana Rumi says, "If you intend going for a pilgrimage, take with you one who has already been on a pilgrimage, no matter whether he is a Hindu, a Turk, or an Arab. Denomination, caste, or creed is no bar to spirituality. Should you be anxious to become a doctor, you should go to an expert in a medical science. Similarly, for self-realization, one should seek the guidance of one in the science of soul. He may belong to any social order. What does it matter? Saint Ravi Das was a cobbler by profession. Kabir was a weaver. Nam Dev was a calico printer. Saina was a barber. Those who have realized God can dye one in the color of Godhood. Life comes from life, and light from light. Everyone transmits his own color to others. Maulana Rumi explains this phenomenon through an anecdote. One day he found in his bathroom some clay that was fragrant. Maulana asked the clay, "How is that you are so much perfumed?" Then he himself answers on behalf of the clay, "I am the same humble dust, but had spent some time in the proximity of fragrant flowers. It is this vicinity which has filled me with fragrance." Kabir says likewise, "All great souls have expressed the same thing, but in their own language. But we are only concerned with the spirit of what they have said. The company of a disciplined soul is just like going to the shop of a scent dealer. If he gives you a scent bottle, it is well and good. If not, at least you would enjoy the sweet fragrance. A charged atmosphere has its effect. We should bestow our love and reverence on an awakened soul and not on the so-called Mahatmas with whom the world abounds. A really enlightened soul is a rarity." The Gurbani says, "There is none in millions. There may be one in billions." India had many sages and seers in ancient times, but Janak, the royal sage, could find only Ashtavakra to get a practical inner experience of divine light. If it was so in those days, how could the number of awakened souls run into thousands today? The more the better, but without the active guidance of a living master, one cannot proceed on the spiritual path. Always sit in the company of a realized soul. He would be able to transhumanize the human in you. This task cannot be accomplished by those who believe in acting and posing. They cheat and exploit the innocent folk by issuing blank checks on spirituality. Who will honor them? One who has not enough for himself, what can he spare for those who depend on him? Great teachers are always outspoken. If you have accepted a master who himself is wanting in spiritual riches, how could he give others inner perception? It is therefore said, by meeting the perfect master, one sees the holy light with his own eyes. You would then see reality yourself and affirm it. After initiating Janak, Ashtavakra asked him if he got inner experience. The latter confirmed it in a humble and respectful way. The charm lies in the receiver of spiritual wealth acknowledging it in unequivocal terms. False prophets always try to put off an aspirant with lame excuses because they are incompetent to demonstrate reality within. They advise their followers in outer pursuits like developing blind faith, idol worship, drinking holy water, etc. Some of them tell their disciples that they have not matured enough for the spiritual gift and that inner development takes place automatically in due course of time. But what is the guarantee that there would be inner awakening? It is therefore imperative that we should only rely on a first-hand inner experience of the light of life. With the revelation of the power of God within, the illusion of mind disappears. By infusing his own life impulse, A perfect master puts us on the spiritual path and then unites us with the power of God. It is a question of giving the bread of life and water of life before we are engaged in bhakti. It has been defined as a Guru Mukh Bhakti is one in which the sound current is made manifest spontaneously. Then alone one communes with the word. Further, it is said, some godly person may link us with God. These are the utterings of great souls. They are true today as in the bygone days. A spiritual luminary capable of giving inner contact with the saving lifelines is called a sadhu, sant, or mahatma. The need for such master souls was felt in the past and will always be felt in the future. They are the saviors of humanity. One dyed in the color of Nam remains immune from the glamour of the outside world. From where do the worldly lusts attack us? From the body level and the plane of senses. Only by transcending body consciousness, one contacts the light of life. Nam is not subject to external vision. It cannot be experienced at the level of the senses. It is the knowledge of the beyond. The elixir of the divine word is too sweet. If you partake of it, the mundane pleasures would become insipid and valueless. In the association of an awakened soul, you would experience the spiritual ecstasy of Nam and lose all charm for sensual pleasures. This is the difference between an ordinary man and a man of realization. Both of them discharge their mundane obligations in more or less the same way. While one is completely engrossed in the world, the other, the God-man, leads a detached life. He who remains ne karma, or actionless in action, in all his doings, is a liberated soul. Actions, good or bad, keep us in bondage. Even the incarnations are not free from the cycle of transmigration. Only by becoming a conscious co-worker of the divine plan, one is released from the karmic web. What is the criterion of such a great soul? In this context, Nanak says, one attuned with his will, O Nanak, is wholly freed from ego. The knowledge of the divine will means the destruction of ego. He sees the invisible hand of God working around him. A perfected being never claims any credit for himself. He would always say, "It is the grace of my revered master." This is because he witnesses within and around him the play of the supreme power. All thy riches and wealth avail thee not. You will be separated from them in a fraction of a second. All the earthly possessions become of no consequence the moment the soul leaves the body. Money mania has become the be-all and end-all of our life. People would like to know your bank balance or about your properties and possessions. We generally care least for the higher values of life. At the time of my retirement, I was at Lahore, which is now in West Pakistan. Some of my colleagues asked me how much I had saved during my working life. I told them that I had only some provident fund amount to my credit. At this, some of them remarked that I was a fool not to have saved anything for the rainy day. One who shared his income with others would not be able to create a bank balance, I told them. Then they inquired whether I had built a house. When I replied in the negative, I was told that I had not acted wisely. From their point of view, they were correct. Some friends had purchased lands and were busy constructing their houses. Some of them had their pensions commuted for the purpose. In the meantime, the partition of India took place. All their properties and possessions were left in Pakistan. When they met me again, they admitted that it was I who had acted with foresight and wisdom. Likewise, we have to vacate this mortal frame one day. Then what is the significance of our riches and possessions? When one is about to breathe his last, one's relations immediately take charge of the keys and other things. Many a time there are quarrels over the division of property. I had seen such incidents. Once a lady obstructed the funeral of her husband on the plea that her case should be decided first. What a deplorable condition of the world. Money is the root cause of most domestic quarrels. Husbands and wives cannot live in harmony. Once I saw a husband rebuking his ailing wife. He wanted her to go to her parents until she recovered. What a pity. People are mostly after money and have lost all regard for the higher values of life. There are persons who lead a life of austerity, but their number is small. I definitely have regard for them, but the majority behaves otherwise. We have reached the climax of deterioration. There is hardly any regard for the old, sick, and destitute. They are given the worst possible treatment with all sorts of humiliations and indignations. This is the true picture of the world. One who remembers God and cultivates chastity while still young would ever remain happy. This work cannot be accomplished in old age. Who knows what will be our physical condition then? By excessive indulgence, one loses one's balance of mind and life is shortened. Those who observe continence lead a cheerful and long life. But on the whole, moral and ethical values are on the decline. In this world, nothing is our own. Everything belongs to the Almighty. What is there to accompany us? Tulsi Sahib goes to the extent of saying that you may accumulate all the wealth of the world and own the entire land from the place of sunrise to sunset as your property. Though impossible, let us assume for a moment that it can be done. What is the outcome? When death is thy ultimate destination, what is the value of earthly possessions? All material things would be left behind on doomsday, but the evil of ill-gotten gains would accompany you. Therefore, earn your livelihood by the sweat of your brow and spend in a right way. This would help you on the Godward path. Help the poor, hungry, thirsty, and downtrodden to mitigate their sufferings. This is the correct way to utilize one's earnings. Tulsi Sahib says that if water enters a boat, you should leave it immediately or else you would lose your life. Similarly, if there is excess of wealth, it should be utilized for a noble cause. Keeping this in view, the 10th Sikh Guru, Guru Gobind Singh, started the practice of bond shakna, or sharing things with others. If we cultivate this virtue, our homes would become a heaven. Most of the domestic strife is because those who are not ready to share with, because those who have are not ready to share with have-nots. If we only learn how to feed the hungry and help the needy, there would be peace and harmony everywhere. Keep the company of awakened souls. Serve them as best you can. Provide whatever facilities you can to those who want to visit such great souls for higher knowledge. A heart longing for gold can never be clean. We should engage ourselves in the pursuits that may benefit our soul in the long run. We can solve the enigma of life only in the association of enlightened persons. By transcending the tabernacle of flesh, we can establish contact with Nam, or God in action power, and know the divine will. By experiencing higher bliss within, we would be rid of all worldly attachments and thus attain life eternal. Thus, Swamiji exhorts us that wealth and possessions would not be of any avail for a higher purpose. Guru Arjan also says likewise, by a great good fortune, thou hast got a human birth. This is the only opportunity for thee to contact the Lord. All else in the world will avail thee not. Seek ye the company of the saints and learn to commune with the Word. Human birth is a rare privilege. It is our turn to meet God. Man is a rational being and can discriminate right from wrong. By self-analysis and inversion, he can seek reunion with the Lord. This task cannot be accomplished by the lower species in the creation. All outer pursuits in which we are presently engaged would not help us in achieving the goal. A sad, disciplined soul is trigunatik, beyond the three gunas of sattva, rajas, and tamas, in which all human beings work according to their natural instincts. It is said, the greatness of a sad lies beyond the three gunas. There is no distinction between Asad and God. God verily appears in the form of Asad. You may call him polarized God. He has liberated his self or spirit from the shackles of mind and body and can make others likewise. We cannot tread the path of reality without the active guidance of such a one. He never claims any perfection for himself. He always talks in the third person and exhorts the spiritual aspirants to unite with the God power within. In all humility, he says that he is the servant of all. Speaking of his own descent on the earth plane, Guru Gobind Singh, the 10th Sikh Guru, says, having merged in the Lord, I did not like to come down again into this mundane world, but was made to do so for the regeneration of mankind. What does it mean? Saviors are God sent. Strictly speaking, God does not have any relationship in the earthly sense. We will have to say that he himself manifests in the garb of a man. In other words, the God power works on a chosen human pole for the spiritual welfare of humanity. He would invariably suggest the association of an awakened soul and communion with the Holy Word. These two would help us in attaining the goal. Hence the exhortation, those who have communed with the Word, their toil shall end, and their faces shall flame with glory. Not only shall they have salvation, O Nanak, but many more shall find freedom through them. Again, Nam alone has been the saving lifeline in all ages. Nam has been the basis of spiritual emancipation of jivas ever since the world began. And what is Nam? It is not just a syllable, but the great power that it signifies. It has two aspects. One is the name, and the other the named. But truth or reality is one. An Indian saint therefore says, each one in his own way talks to us of his own beloved. O Rishabh, the target is one, but the archers are countless. And further it is said, there are myriads of lovers, but the beloved is one. Religious orders or sects may be different, but all have the same purpose to fulfill. One may belong to any social order. One chief object is God realization. Drunkards, irrespective of their religious allegiance, caste, or creed, sit together in a tavern and enjoy themselves. Similarly, spiritual aspirants of different religions, too, should go to the tavern of divine bliss. When a drunkard can revel in the company of drunkards, then why cannot lovers of God of various denominational hallmarks sit together and embrace each other? If they are truly devoted, they must. The highest and the holiest in all religions in the past had great love and fraternal feeling among themselves. Guru Arjan, while compiling the sacred scripture of the Sikhs, the Granth Sahib, collected therein the sayings or writings of all the enlightened souls he could lay his hands upon, irrespective of their religious labels. It is verily a banquet hall of spirituality. This shows the catholicity of mind of the great author, as Guru Arjan was. In contrast, what do we find today? Small, watertight compartments, each trying to run down the other. The narration of the sayings of a great soul of one religion are forbidden in others. Why so? When the same reality has been glorified there, it must be read without any hesitation. It would inspire you with the love of God. Simultaneously, it would bring enhanced glory to your master. Our aim is to get to reality. We are all afflicted with the same ailment. Our soul is under the influence of mind that is influenced by the senses. One who has risen above these two can liberate your spirit from the flesh and unite with the Nam power within. He, God-man, is the connecting link between the individual soul and the Oversoul. However, from the point of apravidya, you may follow the rites and rituals as enjoined by your social religion. This is just a preparation of the ground, or means towards an end. It would help you instilling the mind to some extent, but the end can only be achieved by contacting the non-power within. And I will close by reading from Master's book, Prayer. Let the lotus feet of the Master rest in the heart. Let the tongue repeat his holy word. To live a life of constant remembrance, nurture ye this living temple of the Lord. And thank you, Master.
Thank you, Christine, for the wonderful reading. Today we had 68 people at the satsang. Thank you, everybody, for attending. And thank you, Master, for providing this for us. One final reminder, next Sunday, before the satsang, turn your clock back 1 hour. Now please hang up your phone.